It's time for JT the Brick.
The main reason why I have the back of the Raider Nation, the main reason why I do this for a living, because of the global disrespect this franchise gets from people who are wrong more than they're right on the radio. The lazy national narrative is the Raiders don't have a quarterback. I mean, really? Yeah, well, the Raiders are one of the worst teams in football. I said, worst teams? They won 8 games.
JT the Brick.
That's why I love you in the Raider Nation. You don't like anything. You're hardcore Raider Nation. You don't like anything until it's proven to you. There are Raider fans in Vegas. There are Raider fans globally. There are season ticket holders. Okay? There's a whole bunch of different Raider fans, but we're all one nation. One nation, the Raider Nation. And we're all on the same page. We want to win. That is another unbelievable article on anti-Raider propaganda. The roster's better than last year.
And now,
Big Boy Radio.
Here's JT the Brick.
This is JT as we wrap up the summer, the last hour of the summer, here on the beautiful flagship of the Raiders, Raider Nation Radio. Wednesday night, I emceed the state of the team with Sandra Douglas Morgan, the president, the head coach, Antonio Pierce, Tom Telesco. Here's a few minutes of what we talked about the other night. Coach, you talked about your youth, but then you became a really successful player in this league, and what helped you pursue a coaching career? Your mentors, thinking about that going forward. When did that idea come about?
Yeah, I think, you know, as a kid, you don't think about coaching right away. You want to play the game, and you do that at a high level. And I was fortunate, you know, to win a Lombardi Trophy, to host that up. And then, you know, you get into television because I was in the New York market, and it's kind of cool putting a suit and tie on, it's a little makeup, look in the camera at the red dot, and give your opinion. What was really cool was getting back on the grass, getting around the guys in the locker room, and going through the grind, the grit, the adversity, and everything that it takes. The team is, people don't understand, when you leave the game of football, you miss the locker room more than anything else. And yeah, you have your friends, you make phone calls, but it's nothing like going to that locker room. It's nothing like being around a group of men throughout the week trying to accomplish a goal against another human being and trying to break his will, right? And trying to just break his spirit. And that's something I really enjoyed. So when I got the opportunity to coach in the college, collegiate level, and then obviously when I got the phone call a couple of years ago, I jumped on it, right? And I didn't care how I got in the door, I just needed to get in the door, and then obviously the rest is history. But there's nothing like, in my opinion, being the head coach of the Raiders. I think it was a dream job. I never thought in a million years it could happen. I'll be honest, you know, you strive for things, but when I got in this building, I said, man, you know what would be pretty goddamn cool? If AP was the coach one day. Just didn't know it was gonna happen on Halloween.
That's right. Sandra, to you, the strategies to connect with fans and build this fan base strong in Vegas, this is the sports and entertainment capital of the world now. How excited are you about that?
I mean, it's incredible. It's a great opportunity. And this facility, Allegiant Stadium, all of you and your investment in the Raiders is what's really helping make this team kind of go to another level, being in the sports and entertainment capital. We know that our partners are also our competitors with respect to hospitality. So that's why you're going to have top-notch service when it comes to the stadium. We've been successful in being, you know, the top-ranked stadium, bringing the Super Bowl, bringing the NCAA Men's Championship is coming. WrestleMania, you may have heard, is coming. We have USC and LSU on Sunday. So these top-tier events that have been, you know, in every other place other than Las Vegas, we're finally able to host at Allegiant Stadium. Again, it's because of your investment. It's because of the investment that Mark and, honestly, the Las Vegas community in Clark County has made. So that makes my job a little bit easier. However, we have an incredible marketing team that joined us last year. Many people, obviously, in the organization have marketing capabilities. But we hired a senior vice president of marketing, working really close with our creative teams to make sure we're tapping into our Las Vegas fan base and understanding what it means to be an Oakland Raider, an LA Raider, and now a Las Vegas Raider, and continuing to grow that, not just here, but internationally. So we have a great foundation, again, great building blocks, but all of you and just this incredible stadium make it a lot easier.
Yeah, and it's a global brand.
Yeah.
It's amazing, and the global Raider Nation, we appreciate them. Tom, back to you. When you look for free agents, you're building this roster, you got current players here, what key characteristics do you look for in a player?
Well, there's physical characteristics, and then there's the intangible part of it. I mean, the physical characteristics, we've got a scouting manual that's about this thick that has, like, every position, the parameters we look for, but you do have to have some flexibility with that. There's an art to it. Like, when I was with the Colts for a long time, we had a safety who was 5'9", Bob Sanders, We actually, you know, safeties, we'd like him to be 6 foot tall, 200 pounds. He was like 5'9", 195, but he was NFL Defensive Player of the Year. And then we had Dwight Freeney, who was barely 6 foot tall. He's in the Hall of Fame. So you got, there's an art to the physical characteristics, but we have that. And then the intangibles are a big part of it. It's almost as big as part as the physical part, especially the way AP is going to play. And I guess just to bring you behind the curtain, even today we had, you know, we have an open spot on our practice squad for a tight end. So the staff brought a name to me that I won't bring up, I won't say the name, but a player that I knew. And he had the physical characteristics we're looking for, but then, you know, we talked about the intangible part. It's like, is he a hard worker? Well, no. You know, does he practice hard? No, he really doesn't practice that hard. Does he love the game? Not sure if he loves the game. Like, that's not a Raider. It's not a Raider. So we're not doing it. I'm not even going to go down to AP and say, hey, what do you think about this player? Like, he doesn't fit.
Doesn't fit at all.
Yeah, it does not fit. So you have to have both of those. So that's, you know, we're looking for that, whether it's a draft pick, a free agent, a practice squad player. You got to have those characteristics to play here.
I want to follow up on that. Brock Bowers out of Georgia, you know, JPJ out of Oregon, and then we get players from the CFL and players that aren't drafted. That must be real fulfilling, these storylines, to find those players to make the 53, and of course, those gentlemen who end up making the practice squad.
Yeah, they're all important. I mean, everybody sees the Brock Bowers pick, and it's a first-round pick, but, you know, all these players that have to fill the roster, and they have to come from all over the place. Like I said, we have Tyreek McAllister from the CFL. He's at the University of Charleston in West Virginia, you know, and he makes the long journey to the NFL, and there's other stories like that. And, you know, there's college scouts that are out going school to school all fall, scouting players. We have pro scouts that are scouting not only the NFL, but the UFL and the CFL and the indoor league, and we're just trying to find players wherever we can. To build the team, it takes more than just the starters. It takes more than just the star players. We have to have a really deep team.
Coach, I'll go to you. We were sitting here a year ago. Now you're the interim coach who becomes the head coach, and the team really played hard for you down the stretch. We all saw the change in the team and how you got everybody to play better because of the culture. How do you keep that culture going as you bring in these new players?
Well, I think the best part about it, once it's set, your guys like Davante Adams, Max Crosby, Robert Spillane, you know, Nate Hobbs, the guys that were drafted here that's been here for several years, that's put in the Colton Miller, Andre James, those gentlemen. It's easy now for me, to be honest. The hard part was early on. Now these guys, when they come in, they checking them at the door. It ain't just me. They're looking at Telesco like, nope, nope, not doing that one. You know, and they understand that not everybody's meant to be a Raider. Just not, it's not going to happen. And it's all in vinegar with some players. But the culture is great because once you establish it, it's just not, and hopefully Sandra doesn't get mine, it's just not in the locker room and the coaching staff. It's really our business, it's our marketing, it's the entire building now. The culture, when they walk in this bad boy every day, is to work and get better, to be the best damn organization in the entire world, internationally, everywhere, and that's the goal. And it's good when you have a building that supports that. And they come to work ready to do that. And that's the very part. Everybody now comes to smile, we're speaking, yeah. We have lunch together. It's what you see now, and again, you guys don't see behind the scenes, but what happens in this building now is really special. And I'm really looking forward to the day that we can do it in a building, on the grass, and then hopefully, you know, we're getting that ultimate trophy where we want to host it again.
You had players, that's great. You had players last year that were good players, but you saw something different in them once you took over. What was the difference when you looked him in the eye and said, you did it this way, which I was here for, we're going to do it your way and my way now. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I think the best example is Malcolm Kuntz. You know, he was a guy that he was just kind of on the line. He was on the fence, and we couldn't really figure out why. But again, you know, put my linebacker coach hat on, watching every day, and we're trying to make him do things that wasn't of his characteristics, wasn't even in his DNA. And we didn't allow the player to be the best version of himself. We were trying to make him do something else and be somebody else. And I think once we kind of unleashed that, not just myself, but our whole staff, because all I asked them to do, I said, man, I told the whole building this, I just need the best version, you to be the best version of yourself. Just be the, whatever you do, man, just do that to the max. Whatever your specialty is, I need all of that. And I think that unleashed a lot for a lot of players. And you saw that when we brought in Jack Jones. He can be misunderstood by a lot of people. You know, oh man, he's a bad kid. No, he's not. No, he's not, he needs to be loved. He needs to be around people that tell him every day, man, you know, you're not a screw up. You're a good person. He was a young gentleman, a young man that made mistakes. And I think when you give love, you create an environment where people can open up and be honest and talk and not feel like they're being interrogated or put down, that creates totally different, man. It allows the players, more importantly, to be themselves and play like themselves. And that's what you saw with our team. They played like they were supposed to play, and we got to continue that going forward.
Nice and sad. I just can't imagine it. Some of our premium season ticket holders don't know about your journey, and then as it comes to the Super Bowl and all the success that you had and the host committee, what can you tell us about that experience?
I mean, it was an unbelievable experience. I just honestly don't think it's kind of settled in yet because it's only been about 6 months out. The only thing that would have made it better if we were in it, obviously. And I say this, and Mark actually says it, Las Vegas won the Super Bowl because now there's talk about them coming back every year, and we don't want them to come back every year, maybe every 5 years or so. But it was a tremendous, kind of honestly, Herculean effort. First time the city's ever hosted. First time the Raiders have been able to host. And obviously the first time at Allegiant Stadium. But it was true collaboration from all of our partners, not just up and down the strip, downtown, not just gaming, all people, all hands on deck, knowing that when people come to Las Vegas, it's not just about gambling, it's about having a great time in multiple different areas. And most people come to Las Vegas even when there wasn't the Super Bowl. Yeah. So to have both of those kind of populations merge and be able to have, you know, comedy shows, events, parties, and everything else, and it went off without a hitch. And when the Metropolitan Police Department says it went well, then you know it really went well. And obviously brought in a $1 billion to the Southern Nevada economy as well. But just truly a great experience and looking forward to hosting again. I'm sure it went, I'm confident that it went so well that they'll be back.
Absolutely. Everybody loved it. Coach, I want to talk a little bit about Costa Mesa. That was unique. And I was down there with you and the team. What'd you get out of it? What'd you experience? And what the players, most importantly, walk away with
that? Planted question.
So we just had this discussion backstage about for 30 minutes. I think me and Telesco got a lot out of it. We loved it. It was really good. But the whole idea, obviously, that I brought it to Telesco and Sandra and Mr. Davis was when I played, you went away for camp. Mm-hmm. And what I loved about that was this opportunity for the group of men going to get away from their families, to just bond, to get together, get to know one another. No distractions, strictly about football. And I think we accomplished that. That's a lot of things we were looking for. We wanted a bond. We wanted a camp that was going to be physical and get after it with one another. And a little bit of weather played a part of that as well. But what I asked these gentlemen to do for 17 days is say, man, just focus on us. Just focus on your teammates. Focus on your coaches. Focus on yourself. And let's go out there and try to have the best camp we can. And honestly, when I left there, our last day we did at a beach, and it was kind of cool. It's very, like, it was unreal because the sun is setting. We got the water here, and guys, we had these like little special shirt for them, and like they didn't want to leave. Like we're like, man, we gotta go. We only got the beach for an hour. They're like, no, we gotta go. We got a game in a couple of days, and it's probably the first time in my life I ever heard guys that didn't want to break training camp. Like they enjoyed everything that we did, the bus rides, the fields, everything. It wasn't perfect. We played on an 80-yard field. We didn't have a 100-yard field, but it went to like backyard football when you was a kid. When you played Pop Warner, you didn't care about any of that stuff. As long as you was out there with your teammates playing the game of football, it was the love and the passion. That's what I think. And I know I wanted to get out of it. I think the players did and their coaches did as well.
Tom, what about you? You know the area, the marketplace well, going back there and how that experience was for the players when you talked to them one-on-one.
Yeah, what I really like, you know, because the regular season is so long when you're here in this building. So to get away for training camp, it just feels different, less distractions, and it's all football all the time. And that's the setup was great between the hotel and the fields. That was all great. But having all the players together really for that 3 week time, you can't duplicate that anywhere. And like I said, and then it feels different when you break camp and you come back here, it's time for the regular season. The two practices we had at the stadium were incredible. I'd love to keep doing that, do more of those. I mean, it was great. The energy, it felt like a game. Yep. So from a player standpoint for practice, you practice a little bit higher tempo when you're performing in front of, you know, in front of your fans. So the tempo of practice was high. We got great work from there, and I thought it was tremendous.
Coach, the mayor of Flavortown, Guy Fieri, was there. He was pretty excited. He cooked for the team. That was a nice wrinkle that everyone enjoyed.
Yeah, I've never seen a smoker that big in my life. It looked like almost 10 yards long. And when our players got the bus, I kind of told them right before we broke practice that day, our walkthrough, and they were like, they were kind of like, okay, whatever, AP. And then when they saw Chef Guy there, and then he brought his whole crew now.
Yeah, he did.
He brought a crew, and I tell you, guys are lined up, and that was outside, right? So normally we've been eating inside in the hotel, and they've done a great job setting up, catering. When I say our entire organization stood outside for 20 or 30 minutes for a plate, and they went back for seconds, I'm like, God damn, it must have been good. But it was really cool that just like everybody here, that you take the time, a guy like Chef Guy, to come out there and just cook for our team, right? He's a superstar, reality superstar, big-time Raider fan. But it's no different. It's no different than all you gentlemen and young ladies and kids out here today that took your time to come here. Like, we really, truly appreciate it. Like, the Raiders are nothing without their fan base. And that's real. Huh? And that's not no mushy stuff. That's real. Like, your energy, your passion is what fills these players on Sundays.
Tom, I'm going to ask you about the strength of the team. We come out of that. We go into the preseason. The preseason is over now. Now, what do you see as the strength of the team going forward, or the strengths of the team?
The strength is the culture right now. You know, when we were 0-0, so we don't know yet. We'll know more about the actual team as we get towards late September. But right now, it's the culture of this team. And what everyone saw in December, I expect you're going to see that same thing. The passion, the energy, how you play, the aggressiveness, that's going to be the same. Now, there will be some differences. I mean, the team has turned over a little bit. I mean, it's about a 30% turnover rate with new players right there. So a third of the team is new. More than half the coaching staff is new.
Yes.
So especially on the offensive side of the ball. So there'll be some changes there. But the one consistent thing that you'll see is what you saw in, what, late November, December, how this team played. And that's exciting. That's the hardest part to get right there.
Coach, I'll ask you the same thing from your view and vantage point, the strengths of this roster and team.
Yeah, I mean, I really like how some of our younger guys are stepping up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I agree. I think the culture is set and it's established. But when you see some of our younger players really take that step forward, because so quickly are we to get down on a young player in the first or second year. But then you never know when that year is going to click for him, or that moment's going to, like, man, it clicks. He gets it, right? He kind of comes into his own. And you're seeing that with a lot of young, and we got a young team.
Yeah.
Now we got a lot of young players that have not played really a lot of football, right? So to see these guys get better from, you know, the OTAs, the mini camps, the training camps, and I loved what we did in the preseason, you know, allowing our starters to play, see them get out there in their last game and watch all our young guys go out there and compete like no other. We only suited up 48 players, and they played every down. They couldn't tap out. There's nobody to tap out to, right? They couldn't sub themselves out.
Yeah.
So just the ability, the way they competed. So on top of the culture, the biggest thing for me is the way we compete. We did it against each other, and we're doing it now in the preseason, now getting ready for these Chargers in a couple days.
You're all three leaders of this great organization. Sanjay, I'll start with you. How important is it to set the tone and lead by example?
Oh, it's incredibly important. I mean, I think that, you know, people will know you have to be an authentic leader or people will see right through you. And I really think that's what's so refreshing about being able to now to work along these two gentlemen, because you get what you get and you see what you get. And they've been so forthright in how they plan on leading this team. So I think authentic leadership has always kind of been my motto. You know, if you have a question, please ask. It's open, and I want to know that I want people to understand that we're going to do the best things and be honest and be lead with integrity, and that's incredibly important. I also think, you know, being true to your word is incredibly important. That goes back to integrity. And, you know, there's been a lot of changes since in the short time that we've been in Las Vegas. We're celebrating our fifth year here. You see the 65th anniversary logo kind of paying homage to the past and what we're doing here. And, you know, again, planning and being the Las Vegas Raider, what does that mean? And I think it's a homage to our history. It's having true and authentic leadership. It's being honest and open about, you know, what type of opportunities and different partnerships and different ventures that we have in the future. And again, that's what I'm all about. And it's truly an honor and a pleasure to do it along these two gentlemen.
Tom, I'll say to you, how do you set the tone every day?
Just be yourself. I mean, that's like, I think authentic is probably the better word for that. But yeah, I mean, these are leadership positions. Like, for the head coach, like, X's and O's are really, really important, but leadership is more important.
Yep.
For my job, it's a lot of decision making, but leadership is more important. It's a leadership position, it's a leadership job, and you have a staff of people, coaches, front office, scouts, and trainers and equipment, that you hire really good people, give them a vision, and then let them work, but you kind of give them the vision for that. But it's so important with how you handle yourself. Like, on a Monday morning, God forbid if you lose, if we walk in the building with our head down, upset, that sets the tone for everybody. So you got to come in every day, and you know, one thing that I've told you, like, I'm pretty even. Like, I don't get too high, I don't get too low. I think that's important. If at least with my personality, I can't be who I'm not. But I want to make people see, like, this is not a roller coaster here. This league is really, really hard. Week to week, game to game, in game, first half, second half. And you try and level them out, because if you're not resilient in this business, you're not going to last.
Before you move on, I want to just say one thing. You know, we're all very different people, obviously. But in the last 6 months, I've had people in the organization at every single level, okay, I'm talking about janitorial, executive assistant, say, oh my goodness, AP said hi to me, he knew my name, or oh my gosh, I saw Tom and he actually said hi to me. That seems small, right? And for these two, it seems like probably they've been doing, that's how they are, they do it their whole lives. That goes such a long way when you talk about leadership. It's a simple acknowledgement of a person. When you talk about building a team, it doesn't matter if it's a football team or in business, those simple acknowledgements and just looking someone in the eye and just acknowledging their presence makes them feel part of a team. And I think that's when I, you know, when AP was mentioning, you know, would I mind? And of course I don't mind. This is one building, we're one team. And those small little things, again, they seem so small, but they go such a long way, just being acknowledged and knowing that you're part of something. And that's an example of these two and what
absolutely
they've done in this building.
Absolutely, it's a huge example. Yeah. Outstanding. I hope you enjoyed that. That's some behind-the-scenes stuff we did on the state of the team going forward. Not really a crazy deep dive into the team, the schedule, the record, but the state of the team, where the team is with this type of leadership. When we come back, some fantasy football and some final thoughts before we get back on Tuesday. I thought we were here on Monday. We're closed for Labor Day. We'll be back on Tuesday to kick off Chargers Week here on Raider Nation Radio. JT, as we are back here on Friday on the flagship of the Silver and Black, Raider Nation Radio. Hope everybody has an outstanding weekend and we get ready for Monday as we upcome and get ready for the Charger game where we will go full bore. We will go as hard as we've gone and hopefully I'll keep that energy up no matter what. But after a win, I can imagine how great it's going to feel here. But you got to win the game, Raider Nation. And we got a lot of things happening. We want to let everybody know we're going to do a remote for Modelo at Whiskey Stadium, which is right across the street from the parking lot there, J-Lot. Everybody should know where Whiskey Stadium is now, the bar across from Legion Stadium. We're going to do that remote, and I'm excited about this because I like doing big remotes. Black Hole will be here, our Modelo friends, and that's going to come up here pretty quickly. That's the Friday before the home game, the first home game that we play, and it's going to be fun against Carolina. So that's going to come up sooner than later, but we got time to promote that. Modelo at Whiskey Stadium, that will be Friday, September 20th from noon to 2 p.m. Gorilla Rilla, Senior, all of our friends will be there, so make sure you put that in. Now, as you know, if you've listened to me for a while, I'm not a big fantasy guy, but you are. And there's a lot of people out there that love fantasy. So I'm going to dive in right here because everybody's out here. Last chance, absolute last chance for your fantasy team ahead of what's going to happen on Thursday night. Jeff Mann's kind enough to join us. He's an award-winning fantasy football guru host for SiriusXM, and he joins us here on Raider Nation Radio as we get ready as you try to build your team. Jeff, thanks a lot for doing this. Fantasy football, we're the capital of the world here in Vegas, and the last of the stragglers are here, and everybody who was here last week, everyone's in town for the draft. How you doing?
JT, thanks for having me, my friend. Yeah, it was great. I was there over the weekend. I just got back. I live in Arizona, but yeah, mm-hmm. I was just over there for the weekend. It was electric. The sports were popping. They had action all over the place. So yeah, it was a lot of fun, man. I'm jealous right now.
What are some of the mistakes that people make in their league this week leading up to their draft where they might get tempted to go down a road from the team they had last year that didn't win? What are some of the big landmines that some guys fall into and gals?
I think the number one mistake everybody makes is they think it's last year all over again. They think they're going to draft last year's best team. They don't look forward. You know, there were over 400 notable free agents this offseason. There were 256 NFL draft picks. There are players that retired. There are coaching changes all over the league. 8 new head coaches, 16 offense coordinators, 18 new defense coordinators. So much has changed in the National Football League that trying to go back and look at last year and be like, oh, yeah, this mm-hmm. guy did this last year, he's going to do it again. It never works that way. If it were that easy, I mean, Las Vegas wouldn't be a place, right? Mm-hmm. Nobody would have an edge in that regard. So I think that's the number one mistake, people thinking that whatever happened last year is just always going to be, and it's unfortunately it's just not that easy.
So when you look at Christian McCaffrey or C.J. Stroud or an explosive player, where someone's drafting in the top five picks overall. I love what McCaffrey brings to the table, and I think his strength, and he doesn't wear down. But a lot of people like a quarterback that they think is going to have huge upside in a big year with his legs on top of his throwing arm. So where do you like to go in the first round?
Yeah, the first round, best player available. You mentioned McCaffrey's great. I'm not going to go quarterback unless it's a 2QB or super flex league where you can start two of them, which it starts wearing thin. Because even if you wait on quarterback a little bit, I mean, think about where C.J. Stroud was drafted last year. Nobody was really in on him. I think he was quarterback 23 overall, and now there are guys that jump up. Brock Purdy was not really thought about last year. Jordan Love wasn't thought about. These guys jump up, so I'll wait on quarterback. I'm usually trying to get the best running back or wide receiver available. I think in this marketplace with all the committees at running back that McCaffrey, Bijan Robinson, Breece Hall, and Jonathan Taylor are the only running backs that I'm going to consider in that first round. Otherwise, it's going to be chock full of wide receivers, you know, players like Jamar Chase and Tyreek Hill and CeeDee Lamb, who just got his bag here today. As a matter of fact, Jefferson, A.J. Brown, I think, will squeeze into that first round as well. So I'm trying to get either a premium running back or one of the best wideouts on the board.
Yeah, how have you evolved with the running backs when they're not as many premium ones or guys who are putting up numbers like they were in the 80s and the 90s? How do you go through that and say, all right, McCaffrey's gone, another elite running back's gone, now we got to take a look and kind of figure out who could have a big year because of a new offensive line and a new scheme?
Yeah, exactly. I think scheme overwhelms it all for me. I'm looking at places like Los Angeles with the Chargers and Greg Roman and Jim Harbaugh. You know, people forget these guys were together at Stanford. They went to a Super Bowl in San Francisco. Then, you know, Roman went off and had great success with the Baltimore Ravens, and obviously Harbaugh with Michigan running the ball and Blake Corum's success there. So I look at the backfield with Gus Edwards, J.K. Dobbins, and rookie Kamani Vital from Troy. I'm looking at that, even though they're not going to cost me a lot. So maybe I grab one or even two of them, right, and just sort of hedge my bet a little bit on which one is the breakout in L.A. There's going to be so much volume that I'm very interested in. And anytime you can get a running back that will touch the ball that much and you pay a late-round price tag only, I think I'm in on that.
Where do you stay with Devontae Adams now with Gardner Minshew? You had Aiden O'Connell. Wasn't like that was Aaron Rodgers or Derek Carr. Where you stay with the receiver who's still in their prime, but on the back end of their prime, that put up big fantasy numbers over the years?
Absolutely. It's a great question because normally I want to be 1 year out. I don't want to be the last one off the ship. I want to be the first one. You know, and if I have to be wrong for a year, I'll do it. But when it comes to Devontae Adams this season, age 32 year, I'm going to be back in on him. It was very tumultuous. If you watch that Netflix show Receiver, we saw some of the stuff that he went through and how angry he was, Jimmy Garoppolo. The good news is, new offensive coordinator, as we mentioned, he got the coach he wanted, Antonio Pierce. They went out and got Luke Getsy. Now, Luke Getsy was in Green Bay before he went to Chicago with Devontae Adams, part of that breakout. He also featured the DJ Moore, who was wide receiver 6 in fantasy football last year in Chicago under this scheme. That's the role that Adams will play. And then we have a quarterback in Gardner Minshew who's he likes his jorts and he lives in a van down by the river. But he's also a number 6 in the National Football League at first read target rate, right? And when you're targeting the first read and the offense is built around a guy who's linked to Devontae Adams, I think this offense will still go through Adams. So at least for one more year, I'm going to remain in.
Jeff Manns joins us from Fantasy Sports Radio, Channel 87. What do you think about tight ends overall? I love the evolution of the tight end. And Kittle and even Waller a couple of years ago when he was putting up wide receiver numbers. Are you looking at tight ends that have the ability to put up receiver numbers, run routes like receivers, or guys in 12 personnel that might be in single coverage and won't have that double coverage over the top and might get more touches that way?
Absolutely. I like that. And again, another position that's scheme oriented, right? When you start seeing the Kyle Shanahan offenses and all the copycats around the National Football League, we're getting sort of those tight end drag routes that are a fallback to a lot of inexperienced quarterbacks. So the tight end ends up producing big numbers, as we saw with George Kittle over the last few years. But I agree with you. I'm enamored with the dynamic of like Mark Andrews, Evan Ingram. These guys aren't really tight ends. They don't play in the line of scrimmage at all. They play out wide. They play in the slot more often than anything else. So they don't. Kyle Pitts does not play the tight end position except 14% of snaps. Right, it's a very low amount on a per game basis. So some of these tight ends are more wide receivers, and I think that's the type of tight end I want to target in fantasy football. Guys who play off the line. Number one, they don't have to block as much. They don't have as much responsibility. They're not as prone to injury as some of those guys who stay on the line of scrimmage and constantly are getting chipped at the line. And then physically, you know, you start looking at some of these guys who are 6'5", 250, 260, that can get to have the speed to get past that linebacker on those seam routes. I mean, they have a significant size advantage over the coverage. So I like them too. I think there's eight for sure, and then I got Brock Bowers as my ninth question mark. I really want to see how he's utilized. I was excited that he was all over the formation in the preseason, but you know where that goes. I think he's more of a wild card, but there are eight with Laporta and Ingram, Kelsey, Kittle, Trey McBride, Dalton Kincaid, Kyle Pitts, Mark Andrews in the league that I'd be happy with just about any of them in my fantasy team.
Jeff Manz is our guest. Puka Nacua burst on the scene last year, really took over the Rams offense. Can we expect that to happen again? Could that have another carryover year in the system?
I don't think so. I think it's going to be I like Puka. I like everything that he is. But Matt Stafford feeds one guy. It's very similar to Gardner Minshew we just talked about in Vegas. He feeds one guy. And when Cooper Kupp was not in the lineup for the Rams last year, Puka Nacua averaged just under 23 fantasy points per game. When Kupp was in the lineup, Puka averaged just under 15 fantasy points per game. So that dynamic is something that worries me. Now, will Cooper Kupp be able to stay healthy? Who the heck knows, right? I mean, it's doubtful at this stage of his career. He's had those that threading of his ankle twice now in high ankle sprains. So if he can stay healthy, I think Kupp is ultimately still sort of the 1A to Puka's 1B. So I'm not willing to spend a first-round draft pick on Puka. Now, if I can get him, you know, because of the preseason injury, he's kind of slid in average draft position lately, starting to fall in the late second, early third round. Now, at that point, I'm willing to buy back into Puka Nacua.
Jeff Manz, as we wrap it up, how do you attack a player like Brandon Ayuk who's holding out? If that's someone you want to draft, or steering clear of him because you have no clue when he's going to report. What do you think there?
Yeah, for me, it's gotten hard. I mean, fortunately, Chase is back, Lamb is back, and Ayuk is the remaining holdout. I think now that he's the one early-round receiver that's still a question mark, I'm willing to pass. I just want to pass. Now, I would love him if he's in Washington. I would not like him if he's in Pittsburgh. I would like him if he was in Buffalo. I like him on San Francisco, but it's a matter of that not knowing. It's one thing if he's an 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th round pick. But when I have to spend a 2nd or 3rd on Brandon Ayuk, at that point, there are players like DK Metcalf and Devontae Adams, who we just talked about. I'm much more secure with those type of players given that position and that early round pick. DJ Moore, Mike Evans also going in that range. I'm more secure with them than I would be with Brandon Ayuk.
Finally, Jeff, I wanted to ask you a big picture question on the guys who have been playing fantasy football from the beginning, guys who are in their 40s and 50s and older, that it's just part of their DNA. They're going to do this. It's enhanced their lives, and they've tried to pass it on to their kids or not if they have kids. And then the kids who are coming up today, I have a 23 and a 21-year-old son, and they've played a little bit, but how is this growing and evolving for younger people? Is it coming off the video games, the new gaming element? If you're a kid in high school and then you're going into college, what is the sport doing to gravitate and get younger fans to come in? Because I know a lot of guys my age and a little bit younger and older who love it and will never drop out of the league.
Yeah, absolutely. I have a 22 and 19-year-old, and then my son, he's 14 years old. He's drafting a team. I think the video games, though, you mentioned it. Like the video gaming in the interaction, the, you know, Twitch and all these things, the social media that these kids use are sort of hooking them in and getting them. There's fantasy elements of Madden, of the new college football 25 game as well. Like those fantasy elements are sort of making them more curious and getting them in on the different leagues. Also a different style. You know, nobody wants to be like us, their parents. So they form new types of setups. I think daily fantasy has grown huge as of late. And then you get two quarterback leagues, you know, more flex options, different things like that that spice it up, that make this game more of theirs than it is, you know, the old folks like maybe us. So I think that's something that they are doing. At least the younger generation will always drive it, whether it's music, movies, or whatnot. But I think that's what they're doing. And then NFL themselves have been very good at putting their product on apps and marketing to the younger generation. I think NBA's done a great job with that as well, and NFL is sort of neck and neck with them as far as getting the attention of these younger folks.
Last one. If it wasn't Vegas, I'm a Vegas homer, so I'll take Vegas out. Give me the best city, or maybe the top three cities for a fantasy football draft. If you're road tripping with the crew and you are going, you got the hall pass from the wife, give me your top three cities, not Vegas, other than Vegas, that you'd go for your fantasy draft. Got to be in the country unless you're going Cabo. I'll give you Cabo outside the country.
Cabo's okay. Well, listen, Vegas would be my number one. I'm not just saying that. I mean, we've done it in Vegas. It's amazing. But, you know, there's I think New York is, there's an electricity in New York and in that city, and there's a host of places to go. A lot of like two, three level bars and places that you can kind of have a private atmosphere, but still have sort of the energy of a New York City tavern. So I like New York as well. Let me go. I'm going to go off the grid, stay on the West Coast. What about Coronado Island, San Diego?
Yeah, San Diego. Like, no doubt about it. I'll be there this weekend.
Oh, really? Yeah, we were there over the summer. It was just it's amazing. It's chill. It's relaxed. You know, something like that. Get a bonfire maybe on the beach or something where you go there. Give me that one. And then I'll say my hometown city of Chicago. It's where I started, Shooter's Bar out there in Schiller Park.
Nice.
You know, I was 14 years old going through the swinging doors of that place into the bar to draft my first fantasy team in the late 80s. So I'll go to Chicago, my hometown.
Tell everybody where they can find you, especially this week and throughout the year.
Yeah, hear me 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern, SiriusXM Fantasy Sports Radio, Channel 87, here at fantasyguru.com, the place where all my fantasy and NFL analysis lies there. And if you follow me on social media, it's at Jeff_Manns on Twitter, the Jeff Manns on all the other social, TikTok, Facebook, great, Threads, and all that good stuff.
Thank you, Jeff. Look forward to doing it again. Have a great time.
Thanks, JT.
Appreciate Jeff Manns coming in here, and you can follow him on social media. And if you have any questions for him, he actually texted me and said, have your listeners direct DM me if they need any help on social media at Jeff_Manns. All right, finally, before we come back here, we're going to wrap it up. Thank a lot of our proud partners. Grimaldi's is back with us. The best pizza I've ever had. I've been saying that. Starting next week, $50 Grimaldi gift cards. Who gets them? I don't know, maybe the best caller, the person that inspires me the most, whatever it is. But we got these cards to give away for $50 at Grimaldi's. Want to hear from you all starting next week, our kickoff coverage coming up the weekend. Have a great Labor Day, everybody, because Labor Day is a big holiday. We kick off our coverage, and we're going to do it here on the flagship of the Silver and Black. This is Raider Nation Radio. All right, wrapping up the week here. Thanks to Doug, who did the first hour of the show, and I greatly appreciate that. And thanks to Bobby, who put this hour together here as we are officially saying goodbye right now to summertime radio. If you've been following me 25 years or 25 minutes in the summer, we kind of step on the throttle, step off, step on, step off. We do a lot of fun type of programming. Might not be fun. I'm listening to shows yesterday breaking down chicken fingers. We don't do that. We love Raising Cane's, but we don't break down chicken fingers. We don't talk about other sports that are kind of minute, small, don't make a difference in this town. We talk about the big stuff, and this is the end of summertime radio. So this summer, Bobby put together the top 10 games of all time with the 12 honorable mentions. That took a lot of work. We went to Costa Mesa, which we enjoyed tremendously. We like Costa Mesa. Costa Mesa was a good thing because from everybody telling me, from Dana Wagner and the newsmen and the weather men and women in this town, this was the hottest summer ever. I've been here since 96. I believe we had the most 115-plus days in the history of Vegas. Correct me if I'm wrong. So it was good to get out of here, and obviously I'm off to San Diego for a quick little weekend there with my buddies out there. I started my career in San Diego. I was a stockbroker. I won the Jim Rome Smack Off living in San Diego. that brought me to the Raiders in Oakland and all of that, and I still spent a lot of time in America's finest city. So that being said, today is an important day on this Friday. We're saying goodbye to the summer officially because it pretty much is over, but in Vegas, we get summertime weather starting now for a long time. This is when it gets really, really good. September, October, November. Oh my God, people around the country, rain, snow, sleet, and this is when it gets great for us. But summertime radio is over because the Raiders start next week. It's a countdown to the Los Angeles Chargers in LA, and that's everything for us. We're really going big on that game, and a lot's on the line in that game. So when I was at the other night, as we talked about this Wednesday night, the state of the team, Sandra Douglas-Morgan, Tom Telesco, and Antonio Pierce, Charger game came up, and people were talking about the offseason and what the Raiders have done with their draft picks and who they're trying to get, still figuring out this team, practice squad, additions, who's healthy, which is a big week next week, everybody. Wink, wink. Who's healthy? Who can play? Who's kind of be banged up? Who's got a foot? Who's got this, that? Who's going to play next week? I'm not going to think about it this weekend, but I'm going to think about it next week. Who's going to be ready to go? I like the roster. I like the Raiders' chances. I'm not drinking Kool-Aid. I'm not saying the Raiders are going to win 12 games. I'm not saying Super Bowl. But I've been fighting this uphill battle this offseason that the Raiders can do good things. And the reason that's going to happen is the Raiders have to find a way to win this Charger game. Have to. It's a really big game with Baltimore looming as the Ravens are coming off 9 days off playing Thursday. And we want the Ravens to beat Kansas City, right? We want next week for the Ravens to beat Kansas City so Kansas City's 0-1 in the AFC West. And maybe, I'm not saying they're going to overlook the Raiders for their home opener, but we want the Ravens to win that game. And then the Ravens are going to go home 9 days off and have their home opener against the Las Vegas Raiders. That's a massive deal. But the Raiders beat the Ravens here in Las Vegas in a pivotal opener against Lamar Jackson. Raiders can do it. But the odds makers are going to say no. So the roster is what we spent most of this week on. We spent most of the summer on what were the Raiders going to do. Tom Telesco came in. Antonio Pierce went from interim coach to head coach. And as we look at this team, Aiden O'Connell went into the offseason as the starter, lost the starting position, which was big. The Raiders, we all believe, wanted a quarterback in the draft, wasn't able to get a quarterback in the draft because they were picking 13. It was too tough to get Jaden Daniels. No chance at Caleb Williams. No chance at Drake May. Those teams at the top were not trading down if the Raiders had some interest. So they went with Gardner Minshew. And as of now, that looks like a pretty sharp pick. Because at least with Gardner Minshew, we know that he's won games before. He's beaten the Raiders before, and he can come out and maybe put on a show. Maybe put on a show and do something special. I hope that's the case. But if he doesn't do something special in the first handful of games, he will not be the quarterback of this team. He knows it. You know it. Aiden O'Connell knows it. So I'm pulling for Gardner Minshew to get out of the gate and win a couple of games so he can keep the job, settle into the job, and do some great things. All good? That's about it for me. So as we wrap up this final show before we come back in on Monday, I want to thank our proud partners as we do and we like to do here as we wrap up the week. First, the Black Hole. What a job they've done. I've been telling you about their lifetime membership. You can become a lifetime member by going to theblackhole.com. Just click on membership and do it. I don't ask you for nothing. I don't ask you for koozies. I don't ask you to show up here or there. I'm asking you to do me a favor. Become a member of the Black Hole and you'll be set up for life. You'll feel different on game day. You'll wear the Black Hole shirts, the colors. You'll get discounts. You'll walk into the parties and people in the Black Hole will say, you're in the brotherhood and the sisterhood. I think that is great. Woodson Bourbon Whiskey. Thank you, Charles. Been going back and forth with Charles the last couple of days as he's got his brand new Woodson Bourbon Whiskey, the Raider edition, coming up here for the 65-year anniversary. Imagine Charles Woodson getting drafted by the Raiders. And then we look back almost 30 years later, and he's got the official whiskey of the team. And he's in the Hall of Fame. He's got a Super Bowl ring. He's got a gold jacket. Woodson Bourbon Whiskey. Boyd Gaming, wherever you go to a Boyd property, you know that they're welcoming you as a Raider fan. They love the Raiders. They're a proud local partner. We appreciate the Boyd family and Boyd Gaming for everything they do for us. Modelo. I'm coming back on Sunday, and I'll be in the Modelo suite for the LSU game against USC. You know, I have my bucket of Modelos today on Friday. Have a bucket of Modelos, everybody, for me. Drink and drive responsibly if you can. The DiCastaverde Law Group, Alex and Orlando DiCastaverde, the legacy of their dad. It's a big deal. If you get into an accident or injured, you need to have them in your phone. 702-222-9999. The brothers win. The brothers have your back. Brotherswin.com. All of our friends over at Tequila Commissario, I told you earlier in the week, last weekend, Morris Bradshaw, Raider legend, came to my house. He left with a bottle of Tequila Commissario, and he loved it. Got back to the Bay Area. He said, thank you, and I love this. So thanks to Mo and our great friends there and what they do. Golden Entertainment, they own the Strat, Arizona Charlie's, and they own every PT's in town. Sean Patrick, Sierra Gold, brand new stores opening. They fuel the monologue. Mike, Just, and Sandy at La Casa Cigars and Lounge just had a wedding of their daughter. They're coming back into town. Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Sandy. La Casa Cigars, live music every night of the week. My go-to cigar shop, M Resort Spa and Casino. Go hang out at M. Ice Cube is coming to M. That's a big deal. Official hotel of the Silver and Black. Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers, one love. The official chicken fingers of UNLV and all of us here on the JT The Brick Show. Raising Cane's, one love. Remy Martin, team up for excellence. We talked about him a lot yesterday and today. The Remy activations are coming in hot and strong. Remy Martin with the Remy Cointreau and the Navy Strength Rum. Woo! 140 proof. The Navy Strength. Thank you, Remy Martin. And Resorts World, that's doing a lot this week. And if you want to go hang out with LSU players or Sam or USC players or alumni, it's at Resorts World, one of the host properties coming up here, which we're excited about. We can't forget Tito's Handmade Vodka, America's original craft vodka, one of the greatest American stories ever from Tito and what he was able to do, where it all started in one distillery, the same land that's still there in Austin, Texas. Thank you to Tito's for everything they do for me on the show. M-Ride, the new way to get to the game. Let it ride. Let go, M-Ride. Thank you very much, Teo Johnson and the entire team. M-Ride will take you round trip from Circa or the Palms. Now they got a great location set up at the Orleans. Let them take you to T-Mobile Arena or Allegiant. Don't drive. You don't have to worry about certain things, buses. And if you don't want to do a ride share, M-Ride it. Let them ride it together. And Grimaldi's Pizzeria, hands down, my favorite pizza in Las Vegas or anywhere. Grimaldi's, the best pizza I've ever had. Wow. I got that all in because I wanted to get it in. They're my partners and they're with me. And they're all read up, including the renewed, including the 872 laborers led by Tommy White. And we appreciate what the 872 does for us. They've been serving this community, building this town and all these monstrosities on time and on budget, thanks to the 872 laborers. If I forgot anybody, I don't think I did. I think I got everybody in. When you hear me next, it'll be on Monday, and I'll be full throttle. I'll be balls out. It's about the Chargers and beating the Chargers. There'll be no hesitation in my voice. Hopefully, none from you. Q Myers always has a big show. He's a grinder, great radio host, our program director, our leader on this channel. Check out Q coming up, and he'll set the tone for our entire channel next week on the flagship of the Silver and Black. Have a great weekend, everybody, and thanks for listening to Raider Nation Radio.
Appreciate it. Thank you, guys.